Hey everybody, quick one before today's interview, just letting you know, and I put this up as a separate podcast, but I wanted to put it to the start of today's podcast as well. My latest book, Rewire Your Mindset, that came out at Christmas, is now available as an audiobook. So now available on audible.co.uk or audible.com. So if you are similar to me, where you love to listen to your books, I generally go listening audio first. And then even though I've got better at reading physical books over the years, I still prefer audiobooks just because of you can walk with them, cycle with them, drive with them, etc. Maybe not now with COVID, but when you're driving, they're a great way, or commuting, they're a great thing to listen to. Anyways, the book's on Audible. It's on audio. For those of you who love audiobooks, I'm just letting you know that you can get it now. I'll link it in the description for today's episode. Just click onto audible.co.uk, audible.com, and check it out. If you've already listened to the audiobook and you enjoyed it, please leave a review or a rating on Audible as well. That'd be super helpful, especially if you enjoyed the book. Just let me know how you found it, just because it helps with that Audible algorithm on audible.com and audible.co.uk. I've said Audible a lot today. Anyways, podcast. Enjoy. Rewire Your Mindset audiobook now on Audible. Go check it out and enjoy today's episode. Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the podcast. I'm your host, Brian Keane, best-selling author of the book, The Fitness Mindset and Rewire Your Mindset, here to help you by deconstructing expert guests on all things health, fitness, and mindset. Today's guest is a round two with my friend and, I want to say colleague, because she didn't work with me. She's just an awesome nutritional coach and training coach, Rebecca Rourke. Today's episode, I'm going to keep this introduction super short because this is round two. Today we talk about all things identifying trigger foods for bloating, active stress management versus passive stress management techniques, the importance of nutrition versus exercise, how to find exercise that you enjoy, and all things health, fitness, and mindset that can help you hit your end goal. Rebecca specializes with working with female athletes generally, and people looking to lose weight, looking to lose body fat, but I provide the male perspective on this episode. So all the topics we cover, we bounce back really well. Rebecca's one of those people that I've just got really good chemistry with in terms of conversation. I could literally talk to her for hours. And today's podcast is just like capturing a 50 minutes worth of that conversation. So today's episode, hopefully you enjoy as much as I enjoyed recording it, is Rebecca O'Rourke on food for fat loss, reducing bloating, and workout challenges. Enjoy. Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the podcast. I am delighted to be joined today with my guest, Rebecca O'Rourke. Rebecca is an online nutrition and training coach and the owner of Team Roar. Her message is about empowering women through making yourself a priority. Her Instagram page, at Rebecca O'Rourke, is full of amazing videos on her training, nutrition, and challenges that you can add to your own workouts, including live workouts during COVID-19. You may remember her voice from episode 216, Rebecca O'Rourke on CrossFit, diet, and handling negative people, recorded on March 25th, 2019. I highly recommend you go and check out that episode if you haven't listened already. And I'm really looking forward to this long overdue catch up. Rebecca, welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for having me back again.
My pleasure. This one's going to be super casual because we've gone through your backstory and I've just been looking forward to catching up for ages. And the way this episode fell, just because we rescheduled it, we're recording this just a few days before it goes out, which is awesome because that very rarely happens. So I'm really looking forward to it. Tell everybody, what have you been up to during lockdown?
Jesus, I've pretty much been training like flat out between work and just getting in my own workouts. Like, I'm trying my best to keep my days pretty full because, like, if I get bored at all, that's it. Like, my head is gone. So I like get up the lives because I'm doing the live workouts actually in the morning. That's really helped me with having a structure, even with being at home all the time. So I kind of get up early, do a bit like an hour or two of work. Then I have my live that takes about an hour. And then I could have the rest of the day full of work. And then it's just like a bit of chill in the evening, but staying busy. Like, I took one day off last week. I was kind of super tired and I knew I just needed a day to kind of put the laptop away, stay off the phone a bit. And I just ate all day long. So I said, right, that's it. One day is enough. I literally ate every half an hour, I'd say.
that happens with the lack of structure is, did you, because of lockdown and obviously an online business and the way that it's set up, you're able to do a lot of the stuff from home and you've been crushing it with content recently. For when people are asking you, do you advise a lot of people try and build some routine or structure into their life during lockdown, or what have you been offering as advice for people who are asking that question?
Well, I definitely would recommend a structure. Like, I think it is so, so important. All of my clients are very much in a similar structure to me in terms of training. Obviously, a lot of them are still in work full time. People are working from home. They have kids and they're at home with their kids and they're just running around after them all day. But I do try and get my clients especially to have a structure for their day. Like, they're all meal prepping. They're all following food plans that require them to spend time in terms of meal prep. And then with training, they're all doing it like at least one session, 4 to 5 days a week. Most of them come on the lives. If they don't, they make time for it throughout the day. But I just think it's so important for people to be doing some form of exercise, especially in lockdown. Like, I know a lot of people don't enjoy weight training, and by all means, like, choose another form of exercise if that's the case. But just even getting out in the fresh air, if it's only 30 minutes in the day, just to kind of get out of the house, clear your head. And if you are working from home, this is even more important because you can kind of get lost. I even find, like, if I didn't have the structure of the lives every morning, like, I could easily get up at 7 a.m. and just work straight through the day. But this gives me that break to just give it, like, focus on myself, get my training in. And it's just a bit of fun as well. Like, if people are going to jump on the lives, or if they have been doing it, it's a bit of fun. It's like 40 minutes in the day. You're getting away from the business of the house and your job and whatever else it is. And it just gives you that time to focus on yourself and just to get yourself into a kind of a more positive mindset then for the day.
Yeah, I love that. I'm going to pull it back to some of the things that you've been doing with clients, because I want to kind of dive into that definitely today. But mm-hmm. I'm curious, from looking at your Instagram, and as someone that's been, you know, we've been friends for ages and I've been following your stuff for ages, you actually look like you're in better shape now than probably in a long time. Is that just the illusion of Instagram, or are you legitimately just crushing your workouts and diet at the
moment? No, it's just I've given myself the time to actually train myself. So, like, everyone always says to me, like, I go to the gym, I could be there an hour and a half. But, like, a lot of that time is spent recording videos, and I kind of put that before my own session. So, like, if I have an hour in the day, let's say, to give to the gym, and I need to get workouts up for my clients, I need to do some recordings, like, I'll prioritize that. And then my own training was kind of falling under. Whereas now I have to do 30 minutes of a live full workout 5 days of the week. And I've done that since the start of lockdown. And then I've been doing, like, my own challenges and doing my own kind of weight sessions as well as that, because obviously I have a bit of extra time. But, like, 100%, my training has not been this good since I was competing, like, years ago.
Yeah, it's amazing what that kind of structured routine, as you said, it feels like you get extra time back. We were talking just before mm-hmm. we went online that the beauty of lockdown for some people is you can prioritize other things, because you're not going for 7 meal dates a day, or you're not going for coffee with every person that asks, because mm-hmm. you can't. So you can prioritize your training. I want to pull it back to your clients, because since we were chatting last, you've just exploded online with the amount of people you're helping. You've been, and for those of you who haven't listened to episode 216, I highly recommend, as I said in the introduction, go back and check it out. You were a very reputable one-to-one trainer, very reputable online trainer, but especially over the last year or so, since March of last year, since we talked last on the podcast, you've just been crushing it. I've been seeing some of your client testimonies, some of your before and afters. So I want to kind of stay focused around that today. One of mm-hmm. the questions that I want to kind of just get us started off on is your content has changed a little bit over the last year, because you can see that shift on, as you said, putting out a lot of content for potential people who might want to work with you in the future, but also the people you're working with currently. Mm-hmm. Is there any red flags, or is there any misconceptions that are coming in, especially over the last year, they may be lockdown related or not, when it comes to people's diets or nutrition? Have you seen any trend in terms of, say, last time we talked, there was a big kind of trend towards keto, intermittent fasting, etc. Mm-hmm. Have you seen any sort of dietary or nutritional trend over the last 12, 14, 15 months that's coming in a lot through your Instagram or through your online presence in general?
I think, I definitely feel it's more positive. So over the last year, people are really seeing that you don't need to starve yourself to get results. And that's something I really try and push on my social media, is that you, like, if you focus on being in a calorie deficit and you include all of the food you enjoy, you do the exercise that you actually enjoy, you are going to get the results, as opposed to someone signing up with me and they're like, okay, I want to do 6 weeks and I want to lose weight. If I said to them, okay, perfect, you're going to eat chicken, rice and broccoli 4 times in the day, you have to do 60 minutes of weights, whether you like it or not, like, that's the only way you can progress. This is what we're doing. Like, week 2 or 3 in, they're going to absolutely hate it and they're not going to progress. So what I try to do with my clients is day 1, we go through everything. So it's like, okay, what diet have you been sticking to all along? Have you tried any other, not necessarily have you been with other coaches, but more so what would your system have looked like before? What way would you have eaten? What way is your training split? And then I kind of advise them from there. So my clients are all, they start out, everyone is on like 4 or 5 meals a day, and it just gets them into the routine of eating regularly. A lot of people who are maybe stressed with work or they're at home with their kids, they just don't make the time to eat themselves. It's more so like picking. So I get them into the routine of eating regularly throughout the day, and I show them that they can eat food that they actually will look forward to, and then include the exercise that they can also enjoy. So like even with my workouts, it's a lot of challenges as opposed to just like 3 or 4 day split. You have to do like this leg session every week for the next 6 or 8 weeks. It's a lot of new things, because I find myself, if my training is the same all the time, I get very bored with it. And like, I would have a lot of motivation to train anyway. Whereas these people are like, they're making the time for this. It's not something that they actually like live for. So it's more so just giving them habits and getting rid of the bad habits. But I definitely feel like the last time I remember when I spoke to you, there was a lot more trending diets going around social media then. But right now, you know, I actually don't feel like there is. I think people are just really starting to realize that it doesn't have to be as hard as it was maybe made out before.
Why do you think it's making that transition? Is it, do you think it's down to, you know, people like you, people like me, people, you know, mutual friends, David Young, etc., mm-hmm. putting out content around that it doesn't have to be this hard? Or do you think there's another reason why people are transitioning their thought process from extreme diets into finding something more sustainable? Because I found that exact same trend, but I'm just mm-hmm. curious what your thoughts are, where it's coming from.
I think it's definitely coming from coaches through social media. Like, everyone lives on social media these days. So it's like whatever they're looking at every day is what they're going to go by. So when clients come to me and they're like, okay, I'm after doing this for 6 months, but then I saw on your page that your client got results and she didn't have to do that. So, and I think it's just becoming more regular. Like, more coaches are adapting to different methods of, okay, well, I have clients who 2 or 3 weeks in, they're not sticking to their plan. I need to make some changes. And then it's because so many coaches follow each other as well. So like, if someone, like, let's say a very much bodybuilder split, like pretty strict food, that kind of, like, a coach who would have known those methods. Like, I would have done that at the start. I started out very much bodybuilder scene, shows like rice and chicken and veg, and like, you're going to get lean. But then when I came away from that and started doing my own, like when I became a coach myself, I just realized that like, I don't want to stick to that sort of lifestyle. Like, I want to be able to meet my friends for a coffee, and if I fancy a bit of chocolate, like, I want to have it. But I also know that like, my calories for the day need to be a certain amount. I need to train to make up for all this extra calories that I'm after taking in. And then I just really portray that on my social media with my clients. Like, I don't want anyone to think that they need to like not have a date night or not have a family dinner just because they're trying to lose weight, because it's then or ever that like, they're going to fall off track.
Do you have a nutritional philosophy that you follow, either which may not be the same that you follow yourself personally versus with your clients? Mm-hmm. And the reason I bring that up is because I very rarely, my nutritional philosophy is completely opposed to the people that I work with. Like, most of the mm-hmm. people I work with are body composition, losing body fat, you know, females looking to lose weight, men looking to build muscle, etc. And largely, I don't track calories, I don't count macros, I clean eat, I do a little bit of intermittent fasting, and I run endurance events, and I do, you know, triathlon. So mm-hmm. I have a nutritional philosophy for clients that is slightly different from what I do myself. Do you have a nutritional philosophy that is a kind of a foundation pillar of the way you see diet and diet approaches for people? And if so, is it different what you do with clients versus what you do yourself?
So I don't track my calories anymore. I eat pretty similar food all the time. We spoke about this in the last podcast. Like, my meals are very much the same every day. And even more so now in lockdown, because I'm just in even better of a routine than I was before this happened. But when clients start with me, they don't normally have any idea of calories, macros, foods they should be eating. So when they do a plan with me, like, I teach them the methods that I now have myself. So if someone is with me, for example, over a year, like, I'm not going to have them still tracking everything they eat after that length of time, because I would have taught them all they need to know about portion control. Like, I would very much do like carbs pre and post workout. And then if I want them throughout the day, I'll have them. If I don't like feel I need them, I won't. So like, they're the kind of things that I try and teach my clients as well. Like, the last thing I want is someone to be on their holidays and they're there in a restaurant, like, using their phone to track their meals. Like, that's I wouldn't want that for myself. I wouldn't do it. So like, I wouldn't want them to do it. So it's definitely more so of like, when they sign up, we go through a period of time where it's okay, let's go four or five meals in the day, plenty of veg, plenty of salad, like, bulk up your meals with all the good veg. And then it's like, okay, 6 months down the road, you should know all of this stuff. Do you know what I mean? You should know that, like, if you eat a pizza every single day of the week, you're going to feel like crap. And they do learn these things. Do you know what I mean? Like, I have, like, I'm very close with all of my clients in terms of like contact throughout the week. They ask me as many questions as they need to. And then it's a real learning process. So at the end of a plan, they should be kind of in a similar stage to where I am with regards to, okay, I know my portion sizes. I know what foods work for me, what don't. If I eat this, I'm going to feel bloated. Like, I know if I eat a banana, I know I'm going to be extremely bloated. So I don't eat them. They're cut out, learned that a long time ago. Like, I want my clients to know this as well, that if they're, some of them, they might have an intolerance to like to green veg, cut it out, we'll move on. That's something we've learned this week. Like, we will learn something else the following week.
That's fantastic, because one of the things that I want to just pull out there for everybody listening is everyone's body is very different, how it's going to respond to certain foods. Everyone's gut microbiome is different. You know, people are going to have different tolerances to different foods. And that's why one of the biggest struggles I've had, and I think, Rebecca, you probably haven't had this struggle as of yet, just because I know you got it right from the beginning. Whereas one of the mistakes I made when I went online coaching first was adopting too much of my nutritional philosophy and putting it on to clients, where now I do take a much more of a let's find what works best for you approach, which is what I did as a one-to-one trainer, ironically. But one of the mistakes that I made was trying to get people to separate, say, certain foods into good foods and bad foods. I'm like, that's not a healthy approach for the majority of people, to even go away from the psychological and the behavioral aspect of separating foods into good or bad. But everyone's body is so different. So just because a banana is a great food for somebody, it bloats you. So it makes perfect sense that you cut out that food. And what I want people that are listening to take from that is, just because you read that Greek yogurt is amazing, or bananas are amazing, or apples are amazing, or broccoli is amazing, whatever it is, certain foods, you know, like, certain foods, the context matters. So adjust your nutrition based on how your body's responding and check in with that. Just one follow-up question on that, because you do it with clients and you've done it yourself. How do you get them to, I think self-awareness is the right word, nearly self-awareness on their digestive system. How would you get people to keep an eye on that? Now, this sounds like an obvious question, but I don't think it is that obvious, because sometimes people will force, a good example, Rebecca, and you may have seen this, experienced it, is people are like, oh yeah, you know, I'm going to take my protein shake, and it bloats the fuck out of their stomach. And they're like, yeah, it bloats and swells me, but I need protein post-workout. I'm like, why would you take it if it's bloating you? I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. But they're like, well, I heard I should take a protein shake after I train to, you know, repair. How would you, or what would you advise people in order to check in with themselves to see what foods are working with them? Or what process do you have with people? Do you just get them to check back with you with testing certain foods that they don't think is working with them? Or what's your approach to that?
So I actually make the nutrition plan starting out for all of my clients. So when they sign up, whether it's one-to-one coaching or if it's like a group situation, they all fill out a questionnaire with a list of food likes and food dislikes. And then nothing on the dislikes goes on the plan. They're completely gone. And then they check in with me every week. So if they tell me that they're bloated, they're like, I stuck to my food plan all week. I did all my training. I feel so good, but I feel extremely bloated. So I'm like, okay, for this week, I want you to keep a food diary. And after every meal you have, just put a little note in. It doesn't have to be anything extreme, just literally one sentence about how you feel. Is there any bloating coming on? Do you feel okay? Whatever. And then when they check in with me the following week, they'll kind of have figured out themselves what's causing the problem. And with things like protein shakes, or just like fruit, veg, whatever, things you wouldn't really associate with bloating. Like I feel people are like, oh, it must be the pasta or the bread or like it's a bagel I had. Like there's so many different things that could cause bloating. Like even oils that you're cooking with can cause it. So I think they would come to me at the end of the week then with maybe, okay, it could have been this or that. But they wouldn't really know because, as I said, they're only focusing on the carb meals, really. So then I would just advise them from there. And because I've so much experience now with so many different types of client, I'll have a pretty good idea straight away what it is. And then we'll just maybe cut something out, go ahead for the next week. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, we'll cut something else out. And it's just kind of trial and error then from there.
I love that. I think testing, one of the, like anyone I've worked with in say my online course or any of my programs, I'm like, we're testing things and people are like, man, I'm just going to like quote you with a t-shirt for testing because that's the answer. It's like you have to, that's the beauty of having a coach or someone that's going to keep you accountable, but you can check back in and you can test it. Is there any, and this may be a broad question, but I'm not sure how you're going to answer it. Is there any common foods that are coming up more frequently than not as potential bloating triggers for people? And again, we don't have to go into any science or anything like that, just from experience of working with people, a food that people may not have thought of that may be bloating them that you're coming across quite regularly. Is there anyone that jumps to mind when I say that?
I would say probably fruit. People are in the assumption that like eating fruit all day, every day is the best thing for them, when in fact it isn't. Like if you're going to have massive portions of fruit all day, every day, that could be something definitely to look at. Another one would be veg. So like while I get my clients to bulk up on their veg and I don't count calories for any vegetables at all, like my thing is this: bulk up your food with veg. If you're not losing weight, it's not down to you having too much vegetables. We need to do something else. So I would say probably those two. Like definitely there's types of carbs in terms of like a bagel or a bowl of pasta or something that people would, but not necessarily the majority. I think it's the smaller things they're including that they wouldn't even think of. I think they're the more underlying issues with bloating.
And when you remove those foods, does the bloating tend to go away?
Absolutely, yeah. I actually put up a picture on the TMROR Instagram yesterday of one of my clients who suffers. She has IBS. She struggles pretty bad with bloating. And we're at the moment cutting out dairy. So we're actually just doing that this week. So it went down last week from a few things we took out, but it's still there a small bit. She does feel a bit uncomfortable some days. So this week we're taking out dairy. We're just going to see how she gets on because she does say she finds a flare up when she drinks milk. So there's not too much dairy in her diet at the minute, but we've taken it out. We're just going to go with it for a couple of days, see how she feels, and then we'll go from there. So it's just for everyone who is listening to this, it's definitely trial and error. So what bloats me isn't going to bloat you. It's going to be something different. It might be the same, but in most cases, it's going to be something completely different. And you just need to be willing to put in the time to find out what it is. Like I see people and they're like, oh, I took out X, Y, and Z. It's not working now. I'm just like over it. Whereas you have to actually give yourself the time. Like I didn't know I had an intolerance to spinach until a couple of months ago. And like now I know I have. I would never have thought it. Like going into shops, getting myself a salad bowl, thinking like, oh, this is perfect. Now I'll get a salad, pure health. And then like I was severely bloated and I just started leaving out spinach and it's fine now. Perfect. So it's just trial and error. That's what I would say. Give it time, keep a food diary and just write a little note for yourself at the end of the day. Today I felt fine. Today I felt bloated. What could it have been? Leave out X, Y, and Z. Tomorrow, try the same thing again. And then you'll figure it out. You just need to get to know your own body.
That's great advice. Like one of the, you know, you mentioned spinach there, and I'm mostly plant-based. Most of my diet, 80% of my diet's all plant-based, but I can't eat things like chickpeas or lentils because my stomach, like I have history of IBS, more so leaky gut. IBS I know is brought on more psychosomatically through stress, but chickpeas and lentils, can't take them. And as somebody that's like trying to combine food sources to get all the essential amino acids, if I'm not eating any meat or any fish that day, I can't eat those foods. But they're foods that are the foundation period or foundation plan for most vegan people that are into fitness. So it's just, as you said, spinach is one you would never think, but your body doesn't tolerate it. So experiment, for everybody listening, experiment with different foods. Like there's other strategies, obviously, looking at your gut microbiome, as you said, getting food intolerance tests, particularly seeing what particularly is the problem with you. But you can do a lot of this trial and error yourself as well. And your body will give you better feedback than anything else.
Absolutely. There's that's one thing. Like, I don't think there's any need for these extreme, like, testing things, like, straight away before you've even given yourself a chance to do it, like, in a simple way. Like, just literally start with a food journal. Do it for a week. Like, I have a friend at the minute, one of my best friends, and she's struggling big time with bloating. And, like, every week she just has to leave out something else. Like, it's severe now. Like, she's in a lot of pain. Like, it's a struggle in work. And she just needs to leave things out. Get rid of something this week. Is it a bit better? Do you feel worse? Okay, we'll move on to the next thing. And then over time, it will go. I find a lot of these, like, when you go to for these tests, they nearly tell you, like, oh, you need to leave out, like, this list of 50 things. And then you're just like, okay, what should I eat now? I think it leaves people a bit confused. Whereas if you do it yourself, just leave out one or two things in the week and like you'll figure it out pretty quickly.
Yeah, so true. I've literally done those food intolerance tests and I'm like, what's left? I'm like, broccoli and water.
Oh, like, it's unbelievable. My mom went for one there a couple of months ago and she showed me the piece of paper and I was like, so are you living now off tomatoes? Like I was like, what are you supposed to eat all day? It was ridiculous.
But the thing is, I know when I've had people like Dr. Megan Rossi and some good experts on, I can't remember the term because I'm just not smart enough to retain that information. Those people are way smarter than me. But they, about the mimicry, the molecular mimicry, it's called, where you'll eat certain foods and the reason those lists come back, and I can't remember, was it Dr. Megan or if it was Dr. Orla Walsh or whoever it was that was saying it, but because those lists come back with 50 foods, it's because there's what's called molecular mimicry in those foods that certain, say for example, you're actually allergic to spinach, but there's something similar in peppers that's sending you off. But if you just remove the spinach, you would remove the intolerance to pepper or you'd remove the intolerance to that food. But the reason the list is so big is because of that molecular mimicry, where there might be only one or two foods on that list that you're actually intolerant or allergic to, but that's given you this massive profile, which means that you live off tomatoes if you're your mum, or broccoli if you're me.
So people are like coming out traumatized, like, I can't eat anything, water and tomatoes, and they're just like looking around, what am I supposed to do now?
You're rightly so. That's exactly how I was. I'm like, oh, I'm not following this. This sounds crap.
Yeah, too extreme.
For bloating, is there any other things that you recommend to people? One of the things that I would bring up is like obviously gut health, probiotic. A big fan of extra strength probiotic and prebiotics when you can consume it. I drink a lot of kombucha, etc. Do you have any other either supplements or protocols? I know some people do fasting to reduce their bloating, to improve their digestion. Do you have anything else that you use, or is it just 100% based on removal of certain foods to see how people feel?
It's definitely mostly that, but another big factor I see is stress. Like, people are highly stressed in the world these days. Like, it's ridiculous. And bloating is a massive, massive issue then for them. So it's like, it's for me, like, I have a kind of a checklist I go through clients when they start off. So like, sleeping, are you getting enough sleep? If you're not, like, if I don't get enough sleep in the week, I'm bloated. That's just simple fact. And a lot of my clients are as well. You just feel sluggish. You don't feel good. Like, you just feel crap in yourself. So it's more so, I would say, if you have a really bad sleeping routine, fix it. Aim to get 7 hours a night. I know for some with like young children and that, it's not possible all of the time, but it's definitely something you can try to improve in the long term. Do some meditation when you get home in the evening. Try and calm yourself down. Make sure you're drinking enough water. Like, when people start with me, their water intake is minus. And then at the end of like maybe a 6 week plan, they're drinking 3 liters every single day. Like, it's just routine. Whether they're training or not, they've 3 liters of water drank and they just feel so much better. And the bloating then, it 99% of the time is gone with just a couple of protocols along the way.
What are your personal stress management techniques? Do you have, obviously training is a big one. Do you have any other personal stress management techniques that you go to?
Okay, so I can't like chill. I find it very hard to sit down and just like be still. So if I'm stressed, I do like a really tough workout. I've tried yoga. While I do enjoy it, it's not something that I could commit to like a couple of days a week because I'm a very go, go, go person. So I would say probably training, Brian, would be the main one for me. Like a 30-minute, like I go in, put the headphones on, listen to music, and just when that workout is done and I know I've really pushed myself, I can really feel my stress coming down. So it's always been like that for me though. I'm just not a person who can like sit down. I know a lot of people are like, okay, switch off, watch a film, I'll go on to Netflix or I'll do my meditation. That just doesn't work for me.
Yeah, I think people, and one of the reasons we connect so well is we're both very type A, kind of go, go, go. And I think for people that are similar to us listening to this podcast, like you have to kind of adopt some form of like active stress management, working out. It's one of the reasons why I find the sauna and cold exposure so good, because they're mimicking stress that you would have in a workout in terms of how you feel afterwards without the extra load if you're doing, you know, multiple hours of training. And I know what people fall on the other end of the spectrum. So people can go for a walk, they can watch a movie, and that works for stress relief. But it's important to use that little bit of self-awareness, because one size similar to the bloating and the foods, one tip doesn't work for everybody. You know, some people don't get the same stress relief from a hard workout, you know, and one of the, I've commented about you so often, like you're one of the few females who I'm friends with, who I follow online, whose actual workouts I can do. I'm like, because you crush and hammer those workouts. They're super intense.
Yeah, anything tough, I'm all about it.
Yeah, and you're in a small class on your own there, because, and again, that's not to say the other workouts of people I'm friends with, they're great, but they're for different people. Like if I'm training, I want to be in a bucket of sweat and dead at the end of it. And I think you're similar, which brings me on to my next question. And you are probably the only person I could ask this question of, just because we're so similar. I'd be totally fine asking myself in an interview as well. But if you had to choose for either yourself and or clients, and you may have a different answer to both, if you had to choose between smashing your workouts at your level of intensity and not keeping an eye on your diet, or alternatively going 100% on your eating plan where you're not necessarily counting calories, but you're eating the way you're eating clean, but you remove the training aspect, what would you pick, or what do you think is more important for you personally? And the reason I ask for you personally is my answer is different from what I would do versus clients. What would you pick, training at a high intensity with no aspect on diet, or really dialing in your nutrition with no real focus on training? If you had to pick one or the other, what would you do yourself and what would you advise for potential clients?
So I think it's probably the same for both. I would definitely say always put nutrition first. So if a client comes to me and their goal is, let's say, to lose weight, and they are trying from day one to nail the nutrition, nail the sleep, water intake, training, and they're just overwhelmed, it's too much for them, and I need to take something out, I will always remove the training. So what I will say to them is, okay, food is going to give you your results. Like if your aim is to lose weight, if you just eat whatever you want, but you give me 60 minutes of your time every day to a workout, that's not going to give them the results. So I say, okay, we're going to focus on nutrition. I want you to concentrate on your meal prep, hitting the calories I've outlined for you, getting into a good routine with your sleeping. And if you can just even focus on 2 liters of water in the day. Then over the couple of weeks, let's say we'll do that for maybe a week or two. And then I'll say, okay, how are you feeling? Do you feel a lot better? Have you a bit more time? Let's start introducing training. But I will get them to go out for a walk. Like they need to be doing some sort of movement. If they're stressed and overwhelmed because they have too much on their plate, they need to give themselves some time. Now, they might be too tired to do a tough workout, or their mindset just might not be in it. But everyone can just leave their house for 20 minutes and go for a walk in the fresh air. My thing then, I suppose for myself, food is obviously like the results for me at the moment are because I'm in such a good routine with consistency with my meals. Like I could lose hours in the day before lockdown where I was just like up and gone out of the house, a meeting here, another meeting there. And I could have like 3 coffees, not 1 morsel of food. Whereas now, because I'm at home, I eat before I do the live. I do my session, I'll eat again. Then I'll work for a couple of hours, but all it is just, okay, pop downstairs, make something quick, and that's ready. I'm not out of the house. I'm not like running around like a mad lunatic. So yeah, but for me, like training is what I love to do. So like I will get that done in the day, no problem. No matter how busy or stressed I am, I'll always train because it's like I live for it every day. Whereas other people don't have that love for it. So it is a chore until they do get themselves into a routine and see that it is more enjoyable than it is actually work. If that makes sense.
Yeah, 100%. I think my answer would mirror that nearly exactly. My reason for training, similar to you, is completely different to the majority of people that we work with, people even listening to this podcast. Like, it's an 80-20 split. Like, you're going to have 20% of people who are like us that will train till the day I die. Like, I will lift weights and I will do HIIT workouts, you know, when I'm 97 years of age. Like, 100%. It's something that I've done since for as long as I can remember, and I will because of, it's my mental, it's the thing that keeps me mentally sane. Yeah. Whereas nutrition is the thing that determines the progress.
But yeah, 100%.
It's different reasons, so I would mirror that. I want to pull it back to, or just one other point I wanted to add there. You made a very helpful suggestion there for people about just getting out for 20 minutes and walking more. And I think one of the biggest low-hanging fruit that people miss out on is like just neat activities, you know, non-exercise activity thermogenesis, like walking more, you know, like I'm recording this at a standing desk. Like those things all add up, especially if you don't like exercise, you know, park further away in Aldi or Lidl or Dunn's or Tesco or wherever you are in the world listening to this podcast, park further away and walk to the store and, you know, take the stairs instead of taking the lift. Like all of those things add up. But to pull it back to exercise, for one of the things I've been putting a lot on my, are you on TikTok?
No, but I need to be because I'm seeing yours and everyone else's and it looks like grey crack.
Oh yeah, I'm all over TikTok at the minute. I'm absolutely loving it. It reminds me, it's kind of like if YouTube and Instagram had a baby like 10 years ago.
Okay.
Like it's kind of like that bit in between, the love child of both of those platforms. It's just like, because early YouTube was super fun, stupid videos, it was fun. Instagram, it was like there was some cool features, and TikTok kind of has both. But the reason I asked that is that I put up a TikTok last week on finding the best exercise. It was kind of one of those psych out ones where it's like, should I do running? Should I do weights? Should I do spinning? And it's all like, no. And then I finished it with find the exercise you enjoy. I'm like, that's the best one because it's the one you can stick to. And I know you put a big emphasis on this either through challenges or getting people just to do experiment with different exercises they enjoy. What's your advice to people? And I think you're a great one to ask on this, Rebecca, because of even your own personal journey through bodybuilding into kind of CrossFit into high intensity. Like you have lots of different past experiences with different training methodologies. Well, how do you advise, or what do you advise for people to experiment, or how to find exercise that they actually enjoy?
So what I would say is just try everything at the start. So like, just for example, my sister, when she had my nephew, she doesn't really enjoy weight training. Like she'll do it, she loves like an upper body session, but she's like, weight training isn't something she'd look forward to. Whereas she loves walking, she loves running. Like she'll get out every single day and she does like 5, maybe 7K in the morning with the buggy, loves it, like puts her in great form. Whereas if I said to her, right, I'm collecting you now, we're going to the gym, we're going to do 60 minutes of legs, like she would be completely allergic. She would have no time for it whatsoever. It wouldn't motivate her. So I think like a lot of my clients, they do spinning. They might do a class because they like the class element. They like the going with their friends, or they're meeting their like mom in the class, and it's just a bit of bonding time for them. So if I was to say to them, okay, you do a class now with your mom 3 days a week, that really won't work for my program. So I'm going to need you to do this like split in the gym by yourself. Like they wouldn't enjoy that. So they, like, I would literally be taking away the exercise they want to do and forcing them to do some split just because like I want them to do it. And it doesn't work like that. And that's something I have learned. Like I learned that very quickly when I was doing personal training. You just get a feel for your clients and like, okay, this one, like she really wants to be pushed. Like I would, if I was to sign up, let's say, for a trainer myself, like I would want that person to push me like so hard for the session, like I want to be getting sick leaving the gym. Whereas another person, if they came to me and I pushed them that hard, I might never again see them. So it's just a case of like, you know, try something. If you don't like it, leave it off. There's a million other things you can do. There's dance classes. Like I can see dance is becoming a massive thing for people in terms of exercise lately. It's all over Instagram, probably with the likes of TikTok helping it. People are just loving that. Again, it's a real group aspect. So they can go with their friends and they don't feel like they need to do it by themselves. Give everything a go, see what works for you, and then stick with that.
Yeah, that's such great advice. I had Kaylee Hatfield on the podcast last week, and that's her background. It's dance fitness. She's built up her entire business off that philosophy of merging, if you enjoy dancing, with here, this is how you can get fit. And another line that kind of came to mind there, I had David on the podcast, David Young, 2 weeks ago, and he was talking about extreme diets for extreme goals, that there's no point doing, you know, a keto diet unless you're trying to run 100 miles. That was kind of the talk and the conversation we were having, and that reminded me straight away. One of the things I do with my clients when I'm working with them, and I think you're similar from the sounds of it, is realizing that there's optimal training styles for a particular goal, but it also comes down to what you can stick to and enjoy in the long term. Like if somebody wants to build, you know, a competitor bodybuilding style physique, you probably have to lift weights. Like, but you would then have to ask yourself, is the goal worth more to you than what you're enjoying? Because
absolutely. That's another big factor though that people tend to leave out. Like if you love spinning, but your goal is to build muscle, like make your legs twice the size that they are. You want to work on your glutes. You want to do a load of other things. Like spinning isn't going to give you that result. So it's definitely a case of, okay, I enjoy this, but my main focus at the moment is this. Like you are going to have to adapt at some point and change it. Like you do need to change your exercise as well, depending on your goal. Like if I in the morning decided, right, I'm going to take up running and I want to run like, oh, Jesus, 2 hours every day. Like that's not going to align with the physique that I want. Do you get me? So it's like people really do need to take that into consideration as well. While if you're only exercising for the enjoyment and for the, like, let's say a weight loss aspect, the spinning, the weight training, the classes with your friends, like they're all going to give you results if they're going along with the proper nutrition protocols. Whereas if you have a very specific goal, that isn't going to work for you.
Why do you think people have a misalignment of goals? So for example, they're running and then they want to, you know, build a bump. That's the one I will generally see is runners or cross trainer bunnies, etc. that are like, I really want to build my bump. I'm like, well, you should probably do some squats, you know, or some glute bridges, etc. That's going to help you more. Why do you think there's a misalignment in expectation? Do you think it's an educational thing, or is it just not having a strong enough reason for doing it, a big enough why, a big enough goal, etc.? What's your kind of experience with that?
I think it is they just don't have the knowledge for it. So people come to me and they're like because I only train women. So it's like, I want abs and I want a big bum. Like that's a lot of people's goal at the start, even though more so in the last year or two, it's definitely going more towards, I just want to be fit and healthy. Like when I started first, when I did personal training, every single client that came in the door, they only wanted a big bump. Like that was it. That was like the main goal across the board. Whereas now it's definitely more so, I just want to feel more confident. I want to be fit. I want to feel good about myself when I'm getting dressed up on a night out, which is amazing because that's exactly how I feel. And that's why I train the way I do, because I just want overall health and fitness. And then I'll do like the heavier weight sessions because there is like a physique as well that I do want to have at the same time. But I definitely think people need to start actually putting more time into learning. So if a client comes to me for 8 weeks, like I could easily give them a program and I could say, I'm going to write this out for you, bullet pointed, stick to everything I give you for the next 8 weeks, you're going to get results. Perfect. But then at the end of the 8 weeks, they've learned nothing. They're out and now on their own, unless they want to re-sign up and keep re-signing for as long as forever, because they still won't have the knowledge. So it's more so a learning process. If you are signing up with a coach or you're going to a personal trainer or something, like I would advise just asking questions. If you do love running, but you do want glutes, like what should you do? Just ask your coach these questions and then learn for yourself. And then just with social media, there's so much free information out there. Like even when I do the lives in the morning, I go through technique. I talk people through what they're doing, where their core should be, your back should be straight, and just listen, like actually put the time into listen, look at the information that's in front of you. And just kind of like dig a bit deeper into it. Okay, she's doing this and she wants a similar physique to me. Maybe I should be doing that. And just kind of jot it down, like take notes and learn all the time.
That's great advice. And I think now more than ever, because of social media and podcasts and just the different ways of, that people can learn, and the directness. So if somebody has a question, they can DM you, they can DM me, they can message people. So you're getting that real time, particularly on Instagram Lives or anything live, Q&As, etc. on Instagram, you can ask people questions and you can kind of tailor your knowledge then and focus more on the process. Like, I think that's even the take home message of people coming in looking to get healthier and fitter. The process is going to lead to you getting slimmer. It's going to lead to you getting stronger. Like, if you're doing a weights program with high intensity cardio workouts, you know, CrossFit workouts, like, that process is going to lead to being in better shape and you're going to be leaner and probably feel more confident in yourself. Like, that's the beauty of training, you know, with the likes of you, Rebecca, and training with certain coaches. It's going to do that. You have a big thing on sample challenges, or on challenges that you put to your clients. You put them on social media, on Instagram. What's the sample? Can you give a sample of what a challenge would look like?
Okay, so for today, for example, I have the whiteboard here now in front of me so I can see it. So in the live this morning, it was a full body workout. It was like a 30-minute challenge. So the first round of it was I chose 10 exercises, 10 reps of each, and then we did 3 rounds. That's something I'd do a lot on my social media. Another thing would be maybe 10-1, pick, like, for example, when I go to the gym, if I do a heavy leg session, I might do 45 minutes of lower body, really pushing myself with weights, taking my proper rest time in between. But like, I love to sweat when I'm training, and I don't get that when I'm doing like my heavier weights, lower or upper body. So I always finish with some sort of like a cardio circuit, which are my challenges. So I might do 10-1. I could do a deadlift, a sit up and a push up. And I'll do 10 of each, 9 of each, 8 of each, all the way down to 1 of each. And that's my cardio circuit done. And that, like, that makes me feel so much better. And these are the kind of challenges then that I put all across Instagram that I give to my clients. And it's just good motivation. So like, if I do, let's say Monday at the end of the live, I did max reps in 60 seconds of a squat. And so like, everyone's score was completely different. Everyone then writes in how many reps they got, and it just makes you feel like part of a team. So let's say you got 30 reps. Next week, I want you to get 35. So you're going to push yourself more now because you have like a target. Whereas if I said to you, okay, do as many squats as you can there, let me see how you get on. Like, you don't have a number to reach for, so you're not going to push yourself as hard. So I do get all my clients to track things like that, track their challenges. Like, how long can you hold a plank this week? In 4 weeks time, I'm going to ask you again, and I want that number to go up. And it's just like that with so many different exercises in that I just throw at them over the weeks.
I love that. One of the definite follow-up here that I think could provide a lot of value to people is, how do you get them to, you mentioned 30 and next week I want to get you to 35. How do you get people to compare themselves to themselves versus comparing themselves to you or comparing themselves to somebody else? Do you have any tips or protocols or techniques or anything that you offer them so that that's their metric, where they're comparing their score from last week to next week versus, well, Rebecca did, you know, 50 and I can only do 30. How do you get people to either overcome that or kind of rewire their mindset around that?
I just repeat myself constantly. So like, literally every single minute of the day, my clients, I'd say, are sick of listening to me say the same things. I'm like, do not compare yourself to the next person, like, at all. So if this is your picture and that's her picture, you think she looks better, block it out. We're going to just keep going for another week. Like, it's just about motivating people. Like, coaches need to motivate people, make them feel like you, like, I care about all of my clients' results. Like, if someone has a bad week, I'm going out of my way to make sure next week is a better week. Like, they get voice notes off me every single morning, messages every Sunday before they start their week again, so that they are focusing on themselves and their results. And I do find with the challenges, like, I don't know, it's just like a mindset thing, obviously, but even if someone doesn't like training, if you give them a challenge, like, most people, it will stick with them. So if I say to them, right, you have 30, next week's 35. Like, 99% of people are going to push for that 35. Like, it's very few times that a client will message me the following week and be like, oh, I got less than last week, sickened. They'll be like, oh, did it, 8 more reps, love and life. And then they're off for the week, like, happy, out.
and you're building on that confidence week on week. I love that. It's kind of like a small step confidence builder that will probably show up in the grander scheme of things because you're doing it on a smaller level.
In 100%. Terms
of, I love that. That's such a great philosophy. I just have two more things that I want to touch on, Rebecca. Mm-hmm. And again, round three, we won't leave it as long next time for sure. because we've been over a year now and we've been trying to organize this for ages. And I think lockdown has actually helped us. I just have two more questions. One of which is a tip that I want from you. If you could give one piece of advice or tip to people for the rest of lockdown during, you know, the, because we could be going, I know the gyms don't open again till August. This is going out in a couple of days. So it's a very applicable in terms of time wise. What one piece of advice or tip would you offer to people on lockdown? Go whatever direction you want with this, but what would you say to them?
I would say start doing live workouts. They're such an, like, If you're finding time to make time for yourself in the day, the live workouts are 30 minutes. You're going to learn so much. You're going to be motivated. You're going to pick up tips that are going to bring you back to the gym or even bring you to the gym for the first time after lockdown with more confidence because you'll have the knowledge from seeing coaches on the lives. Like there's, let's say, for example, like the people who are watching my lives every morning. They're getting a tough workout. They're learning about the intensity that they should have in a workout when they're in the gym. They're learning about technique. They're learning different posture, like what your abs should be engaged. What if your back is sore, these are a couple of tips to fix it. And that's going to help you even with just going back to work. If you're someone who's like sitting at a desk all day, you've really bad pains in your back, you don't know why, you're going to learn the tips for this in the live workouts. So me putting something up on my Instagram in text isn't going to give you the same effect as that 30 minutes of me like preaching information to you on the phone for like 30 or 45 minutes, whatever it is on the day. But I would just say do something that's going to benefit you after the lockdown. So if for example, you have been sitting at home for the last couple of weeks, you feel you're tired, you're just watching TV a lot, you're getting very bored, I would just say start fresh this week and just do a live workout. If you the best thing about training from home is that nobody can see you. So my clients, a lot of them would come to me and they feel really intimidated about starting in the gym. They think people are looking at them, they don't know if they're doing things right, and it's really like it's a knock in confidence when you don't know if you're doing something correctly in front of like a big group of people. So if you're at home, go into a room. Like I have a room here downstairs and this is literally the gym. Not one other thing happens in here. I come in, close the door. This is where I do my workouts. So try and do something like that. If you do have a spare room or just a little part of a room that you can kind of section off, this is where I train. I'm going to give myself 30 minutes, 5 days a week. And that's just for me. I'm going to be stronger, fitter. When I go back to work, my pains in my back are going to be gone. And I'm going to get back to the gym with so much more information than I had before.
That's great advice. The using a room, like I'm a big fan of, you know, kind of hacking that Pavlovian response where you, like, for example, I have a writing room when I'm writing books. It's like this room is for writing, this laptop and computer is for writing. So automatically your brain goes into that. Well, you're in writing mode now. You're sitting in that chair in that position. And I think by having a workout equivalent of that, it can be very, very helpful because you automatically associate this is workout time. This is what we're going at now.
Yeah, 100%.
What time are those live workouts that you do?
They're on Monday to Friday at 11 and it's a complete mixture. So it's all, there's always challenges included and there is full body, lower body and upper body depending on the day. But you're always going to get some sort of mixture. I throw core in there. There's cardio. Yesterday we did a full glutes and hamstring workout for people who just need to strengthen their lower body. We focus on some lower back work. Like you're learning so much in them. There's no reason while you're sitting at home watching TV that you just can't put aside 30 minutes to better yourself.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. And I highly recommend trying those out. I have one last question, Rebecca, which just to kind of round it all off on what we've been talking about today, because we didn't get into this particularly as much in the last episode that we recorded. And we talked a little bit about bloating, about nutrition, about diet today. The last question I have is if you could hack all of the social media platforms, so Instagram, Facebook, TikTok that you're not on, but if you were on it, and you could put out one piece of nutritional advice to every female on the planet or every girl or woman on the planet about diet or nutrition, or a sentence that would sum up your philosophy on it, what advice or what philosophy or what sentence would you share with them?
tough one. So, okay, I suppose what I would just say to them is that you don't need to cut out all happiness of a social life to get results. You can train whatever way you want to train, eat the foods you enjoy, and just learn about portion size, calories, and eating right for your own body. But you do not need to starve yourself, and you do not need to eat foods that you have absolutely no interest in, because it's like, confidence is a big thing that I want in my clients. I want them to enjoy what they're doing, feel better about themselves, and cutting out all aspects of a social life is not going to do that.
Great advice. Absolutely fantastic thing to end on. Rebecca, can you tell everybody listening where is the best place for them to connect with you, to reach out with you for coaching, to follow your workouts, or just to find out where you spend the most time online?
Okay, so my Instagram is, everything is run through my Instagram. So it's Rebecca O'Rourke, and then the link for my website is in the bio. All email, Facebook, everything then is on the website.
And everybody listening, I will link those in the description. So wherever you're listening now, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Podbean, etc., you can click on that description and it will bring you straight there. Or if you're on BrianKeenFitness.com, just check out the show notes. It'll all be on there. Rebecca, awesome round two. Thank you so much again.
Thanks for having me.
So there we go. Rebecca O'Rourke on food for fat loss, reducing bloating, and workout challenges. Absolutely love Rebecca. We will do a round three in the future for sure. Hopefully we won't leave it as long this time. And as I mentioned at the start of today's podcast, check out my, if you're an audiobook listener, check out my latest book, Rewire Your Mindset, available on audible.co.uk or audible.com. The link for that is in the description. So if you prefer to listen to your books rather than read them, definitely go check that one out if you think it will help you. And as always, if you are not subscribed to the podcast and you just joined today, hit that subscribe button for podcasts and expert guests coming each and every Monday. Catch you all next week.